We're talking about a plan to stabilize the dairy industry on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Over the past decade, the Agriculture Department recorded the loss of about 17,000 dairy herds. That cuts the total number of herds in our country by a third. Wisconsin lost 691 dairy farms last year alone, and that's according to data from the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Now farmers across the state and nation are gathering at these events to talk about policy and economic initiatives that could help rebuild this industry. Dairy farmers, how are you doing? Tell us your story. What has changed over the years? What challenges are you up against? Have you made adjustments to manage low milk prices? We're at 800-642-1234. Bobby Wilson is Government Relations Associate for the Wisconsin Farmers Union, which is organizing the Dairy Together Roadshow. Bobby, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us about this Dairy Together initiative, and more specifically, these roadshow events that are happening across the state and nation.
Sure. So starting with a little background on Dairy Together, we started this grassroots movement about a year ago in 2018. It started with a series of meetings that we held around the state where we invited Canadian dairy farmers to come talk to our members about their supply management or quota system. And we thought this would be an educational opportunity to learn about how Canada does things differently, and to maybe break through some of the blame that was directed towards Canada at the time for the low milk prices that we're seeing here in the U.S. But what we didn't expect was for this to spark such a huge grassroots movement and to really spark the imaginations of our dairy farmers here, who, for some of them, imagine for the first time having a system that works better than what we have now. So following these meetings, we were just kind of blown away by the number of people who started contacting us saying, I really think this idea has merit. I think we should push for something like that here, and I want to get involved. How can I get involved? So we started organizing these farmers, getting them together throughout the last year to try to push for changes in federal dairy policy to stabilize our prices. So this Dairy Together Roadshow that we're currently organizing is part of this ongoing Dairy Together campaign, and this is about taking a closer look at solutions for stabilizing the dairy industry.
Yeah, and so the Wisconsin Farmers Union and the National Farmers Organization are going to communities presenting plans to help dairy farmers. And before we get into the proposals, how have farmers and community members been responding all over the country?
So far the response has been very positive. I think there's an acknowledgement that what we have now is not working. It's not acceptable that we're losing hundreds, thousands of dairy farmers every year, and we need to look at stopping this downward trend in the number of farms that we have. And so I think there's consensus that we need to do something, and now it's about what's the right path forward, what's going to get us out of this situation and to bring real prosperity back to our dairy economy and back to rural communities.
And small dairies in particular are hurting. You know, Wisconsin lost a record number last year, 691 small dairies. For short-term relief, this effort is proposing the Family Dairy Farm Relief Act. Can you tell us about this legislation, what it would do?
Sure. So that one is proposed by National Farmers Organization, so I can speak to it just in general terms, but NFO has more details about their proposal. So they're proposing an emergency relief payment. It would be a direct payment based on average cost of production across six tiers of farm sizes. So just an immediate payment to help farms hang on a little bit longer, get through the next couple of seasons until we can get a fair price from the marketplace.
But farmers have been stuck in this cycle of subsidies and insurance for years now. Would a bill like this just perpetuate the problem?
That's the concern, is that what we're hearing from farmers is that they don't want another handout. They don't want another government subsidy. Everyone just wants to earn a fair price. And so the Emergency Dairy Relief Act is just to stop the bleeding, but it needs to be coupled with a longer-term solution, because we can't just keep throwing money at a problem without actually fixing it.
Well, let's take a look at the Dairy Price Stabilization Plan. I mean, the program is intended to slow the loss of small farms and act as this bridge to a longer-term solution of this problem with overproduction. So how do we get there?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So implementing something like the Dairy Price Stabilization Plan would require an act of Congress. So we know that farmers support this idea. We're hearing a lot of engagement from the National Holstein Association and other groups that want to take a closer look at this plan. And this wouldn't just be a bridge. This is something that could be a sustainable long-term solution to manage the overproduction in the dairy industry. So we think this idea has a lot of merit, and we hope that we can take this up with our elected officials and members of Congress and get some traction on this plan.
So how would it look on a national level? How would it work out?
Yeah, so the Dairy Price Stabilization Plan is not a new idea. It was introduced back in 2010, and it actually passed the House. So it was not implemented into law, but this is not a new idea. This is something that we've thought about before. And the way that it works is that each year, the USDA would set an allowable rate of milk production growth, and farms who stay within that allowable growth rate can just continue producing as normal. Anyone that decides to expand beyond that growth rate would have to pay a market access fee in order to expand. So essentially what they're doing is paying for an additional share of the market, and those market access fees would be pooled and distributed among all the farms that stay within that allowable rate of production growth. So what you have is a balancing out. You're essentially paying other farmers for an additional share of the market if you want to expand and potentially have a negative impact on the overall milk price.
We're talking with Bobbi Wilson. She is Government Relations Associate for the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Farmers, have you been hurt by low milk prices? Would you support supply management? Why or why not? And if not, what policy changes would you like to see to make dairy more successful? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. When you look at the Dairy Price Stabilization Plan, what have economists and researchers who have evaluated this strategy, what have they said?
So we asked two researchers to take a look at this plan, Chuck Nicholson from Cornell University and Mark Stevenson from UW-Madison, and they updated the Dairy Price Stabilization Plan under current market conditions, and we were actually very pleased with the results. Their results show a doubling of net farm operating income, a slowing of these dairy farm exits. So we can say with certainty that we would save hundreds of farms if we had this plan in place. We saw an increase in the overall milk price. And one thing that's really appealing about this plan is that it doesn't cost the government anything. And in fact, it reduces the subsidies that we're already paying through the dairy margin coverage program.
Does it say anything about what the end consumer would be paying at the grocery store?
So they assume that this would have a small impact on retail milk prices, and that could result in slightly lower consumption of dairy products, which we understand is a concern for some people. But what we found is that you could increase the cost or the price that we're paying to farmers substantially and just have a tiny impact on the retail price for dairy products. And when we talk to consumers about this, they say we'd be willing to pay an extra 50 cents to know that we're supporting small farmers.
So how does that parlay into this structured dairy pricing program to curb overproduction? How does that work?
So the tiered structural management proposal is different. It actually would not directly curb overproduction.
Okay.
This is looking at the way that milk is priced and reallocating the money that is distributed through the federal order pool to pay farmers based on their cost of production.
And when you say federal order pool, what do you mean by that?
So we have a system in the United States called the Federal Milk Marketing Orders, and that's how all milk is priced based on its end product use. So it would be overlapping with that system that we already have and changing the way that those funds are allocated to, instead of just recognizing the use of the dairy products, it's also recognizing the cost that it takes the cost that farmers pay to produce milk.
How are farmers feeling about supply management? Because this can really impact their business and their bottom line.
Yeah, so most farmers that we're talking to are open to this idea, and we have seen that this dialogue is really shifting. A couple of years ago, when we said supply management, most people immediately thought of the Canadian quota system, and there was a little bit of pushback against that. So when we talk about supply management, we're not just talking about quota. There are a number of options and ways of stabilizing the dairy market that's not a quota necessarily, but that is more like this market access fee program that would do a lot to raise the overall price for farmers. And I think that's very appealing across the board.
Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Ruden said, "We can't export our way out of this problem." What role do global markets have in the fate of Wisconsin's farmers?
So we do understand that as it currently stands, exports make up a significant amount of farm income, about 20%. But we've been increasing exports for the last 25 years, and this is the state of the dairy economy. We can't keep endlessly chasing these export markets, because as soon as we find a new market, immediately we'll ramp up production to take advantage of that new market demand. Mm-hmm. And so We're producing faster than we can find markets, and this strategy is simply not working. We can't export our way out of this. And when we look at exports accounting for 20% of farm income, that doesn't mean a whole lot when farm income is a negative number.
We're talking with Bobby Wilson. She is the Government Relations Associate for the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Her organization is behind the Dairy Together Roadshow that recently made stops in Eau Claire, Oshkosh, and Platteville. There's a meeting today in Michigan, more stops coming in Minnesota, Vermont, New York, New Mexico, and California. Rural Wisconsinites, how has your area been impacted by small dairy farms? What impact has it had on your community? And farmers, would you support supply management? Why or why not? You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your ideas about how to make dairy more resilient. We'll be back in a minute right here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about depressed milk prices and events happening around the country to help generate policy ideas to rebuild the dairy industry. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Last year, Wisconsin led the nation in farm bankruptcies for the third straight year, and dairy farms closed at the highest pace this century. We're hearing reports that some dairy farmers are selling their dairy cows and investing in other livestock such as beef cattle and goats. Farmers straight across the country are meeting to discuss the economic conditions and how to come up with policy ideas. Have you been hurt by low milk prices? Have you seen your neighbors and small farmers in your community get out of the dairy business? Does that worry you? Rural Wisconsinites, has your area lost small-scale dairy farms? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Bobby Wilson stays with us. She is Government Relations Associate for the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And let's go straight to the phones now with Maureen joining us from Mineral Point. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, I'm no expert in dairy farms by a long shot, but there are two factors that seem kind of like they've probably influenced this. And one is using bovine growth hormone, BGH, to increase production. That's been around for a bit. And the other are these large operations, I believe they're called CAFOs. And it just seems like those two factors are probably contributing quite a bit to this, are they?
Maureen, great question. Let's start with CAFOs, the centralized animal feeding operations.
Sure. So what we have now is a federal policy that incentivizes producing as much as possible, as cheaply as possible. So CAFOs definitely fit that description. And what we're seeing when these small dairy farms go out of business, the cow numbers have stayed relatively stable. So the cows are being sold onto these very large farms, and we're not actually reducing the overall milk supply. So that's really contributing to this problem. And also what we're seeing is that while farms have been lost in all size categories, up to about 1,000 farms, we've seen a doubling of farms between 1,000 and 2,000 cows, over tripling of farms, 2,000 cows or more. So this is part of the problem, that they're producing more milk and they're producing it less expensively than the smaller farmers. So that is continuing with this glut of milk.
So would the stabilization plan, though, impact these CAFOs?
It would. So with the market access fee, there is a range in market access fees that farms would have to pay if they want to expand. Those fees are higher for larger farms than they are for small farms, because we recognize that these large farms could have a much larger impact on the price when they expand versus a small farmer with 50 to 100 cows, for example. So that is how that's the most direct way that these large farms would be affected by it and having to pay a higher market access fee.
Let's go to Aaron now, joining us from Peshtigo. Aaron, hi.
Hey, good morning, Kate. So I'm a farmer in Peshtigo. I don't dairy. I raise beef cattle and pigs, but dairy is big around my area, and it seems like every week there's another farm going up for auction, and it's having a terrible impact on my rural community. I've known farmers that have committed suicide because of their despair over the loss of their business. It's really having a terrible impact, and it's a lot of farms have off-farm income. Farmers are working two jobs. They're milking cows every morning and night and going to town for a farm job during the day. And we don't expect anybody else to subsidize the cost of food for the rest of the nation, but we do expect farmers to be able to take this low pay, and so that the customers can have a low price at the grocery store. You know, if we just paid a few more cents per gallon of milk, the farmer could actually have a decent living wage, and we could have thriving rural communities again.
Aaron, have you been to any of these auctions in your community?
Unfortunately, yes.
What is it like?
It's pretty disappointing. You know, nobody's happy about watching their neighbor's cows get sold. And nobody feels real good about buying them either. But the state of the situation we're in.
Aaron, thank you for that perspective. Bobby, what do you hear there?
Well, first of all, Aaron, I appreciate your acknowledgement of the situation from somebody who's a farmer, but not directly in dairy. So we do recognize that this is not just a problem that's affecting dairy farmers. This is affecting neighbors and entire communities. When farmers are going out of business, they are the economic engine for these rural communities. So all of that economic activity leaves with them. So I definitely relate to Aaron's comments, and what he's saying is what we're seeing across the country in these rural communities where we're having dairy farm exits.
Let's go to Rachel now, joining us from Fort Atkinson. Rachel, hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello. Hello?
Yes, we're here, Rachel. What is on your mind?
Hi.
Yeah.
I just want to say that we need more antitrust laws so that we can keep the farmers in the communities. I'm currently a high school student, and I've been noticing that our football games and our bring your tractor to school days have been getting quieter and quieter because the farmers are leaving their community. We need these antitrust laws and more focus on mental health for these farmers, because they are what keep our community strong and what makes Wisconsin, Wisconsin.
Rachel, do you plan to go into farming?
No, but I am actually a farmers union member.
Do you see in your community that there are fewer farmers and perhaps fewer people your age going in those footsteps?
Yes, I have a friend that lost their family's dairy farm this past year, and less people are being able to support their farms because the cost of production outweigh what they're being paid.
Rachel, thank you for the call. And she's calling for more antitrust laws there.
Yeah, so that's something that we're hearing as a big part of this discussion, and something else that Farmers Union has been focusing on over the last year or so. We recognize that the concentration in agriculture is really squeezing farmers because they have fewer options for where to buy the necessary inputs that they need to run their farms. And meanwhile, the prices that they're getting back are getting lower and lower. So this is an important piece of this puzzle, that we do need to have stronger antitrust laws. We need to restore competition in the marketplace, and that will go a long way for rural communities.
These Dairy Together meetings are open to the public, but you've also invited lawmakers and their staffs. How have they taken the policy suggestions that are being brought up across the country?
We really appreciate that we've had strong attendance from elected officials' offices at all of our meetings, because they're coming because they want to know what we're talking about, but they also want to see what people's reactions are to these ideas. So it's powerful for them to be in a room that's packed full of dairy farmers and people who are interested in these ideas, asking questions, and for them to see that there's real support and a real need and a sense of urgency for doing something about this dairy price crisis. So that's what they need to hear in order to take action at the federal level. They need to see this groundswell of support coming up from rural communities. And I think that these Dairy Together Roadshow meetings are demonstrating that.
And you really feel that it's federal legislation that is going to change the course here and actually address this crisis?
Yeah, it has to be federal policy, because for supply management to work, it needs to be national and it needs to be mandatory. It needs to apply across the board to everyone. And when I say that, as an example, if Wisconsin alone were to adopt a supply management program and restrict our growth just in this state, that's not going to stop farmers in California or Texas or elsewhere from ramping up production to take advantage of this new market access. So that's what I mean by it needs to be national and mandatory. And to do that, we need federal policy.
So outside of supply management on a federal level, policy level, is there anything that we can do in our own smaller communities to help change the course here about this dairy crisis?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think the best thing that people can do is to be aware of this issue and to come to these meetings. Folks like Aaron, who just called in, who's not a dairy farmer, but is really in tune with the issues and knows how he's personally being affected. All of these people really do have a stake in the dairy economy. So please come to the meetings, visit dairytogether.com and find out other ways that you can get involved by signing petitions, getting in touch with your elected officials. There are a number of things that people can do outside of dairy to support this movement.
Bobby, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Bobby Wilson is Government Relations Associate for the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and more information about the Dairy Together Roadshow events can be found at dairytogether.com. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.